Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
The Burt Show.
There it was, playing out in real time, a beautiful romantic gesture. And then Jackson had to enter the picture and ruin it because Jackson ruins everything.
Jackson ruins everything. Jackson ruins everything. Jackson ruins everything. Jackson ruins everything. Jackson ruins everything. Why do you have to ruin everything, Jackson?
What now?
When you think of the most romantic places in this world, you probably think of Bora Bora, Hawaii, someplace tropical and cool.
Paris,
perhaps.
For Tommy, it's Buc-ee's.
Buc-ee's is in the running for sure, but no.
By the brisket, specifically.
I would argue that it's at the Georgia Renaissance Festival.
Huh? We'd have a hell of an argument. Yeah. You sure you want to take that side? Huh?
Well,
a good time. Romantic isn't the first thing that pops to my head.
Well, for us, but there are people that are in that, I mean, certainly in that community, like maybe they met there or they were in theater and this is their thing. So for them, it would be.
That could be any place, literally.
Yeah. Right. And it's a big deal here. It's a huge event that goes on for, you know, many months. And so my girlfriend and I usually try to make a, you know, date out of going there every year. And we always have such a good time. And so last week we went and brought along my sister and her boyfriend. Okay. So we dressed up. We were the full nine, you know, like we full send commit when we go to this thing. And so if you've never been there, everyone's dressed up in like all sorts of crazy gear, armor, dragons. There's just a whole bevy of different types of people that you see there.
I'm always impressed with the cleavage.
Yeah. Corsets and push-up thing.
It's a sight to behold.
Yes.
And so we're walking around and we're looking at all these little shops and we stop at one and my sister is like completely doting over this necklace and some rings that she's seeing and she is just loves them. But they're kind of on the expensive side. She's like, nah, maybe we'll come back later, you know, after a couple more pints of mead. And so we continue on our way. So we're playing all the games. We're seeing shows. We watch jousting. We're doing all the stuff. And at some point later on in the afternoon, my sister ends up spilling her mead because of too many pints of said mead.
Mead is beer?
Mead is like some type of wine?
No, it's like a honey. It's a fermented honey beverage.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very old-timey.
But it's got alcohol in it.
It's got alcohol.
Okay. Yeah. It's booze. It's old time booze.
And the Renaissance Festival is packed. It is absolutely bumping there. And so my sister's boyfriend, being the chivalrous gentleman that he is like, let me go. I'll wait in line and I'll go get you another drink, right? So he goes and walks over to the bar line. And the bar line is huge. And then after a couple minutes, I'm like, I need to refill too. I'll go wait there with him. So I walk over to the bar line and he's nowhere to be found. And I kind of see the backside of his head walking away from where we were going to meet up eventually. And I was like, that's kind of weird. Was that actually him? So I kind of chased after him and I couldn't really see, lost in the crowd, completely gone. So then I wait in the line, get my drink, and I go back. And I was like, hey, Leah, to my sister, your boyfriend just decided to get up and walk on out of here. I don't know where he went. And so we're all really confused. And we're like, should we stay here? Should we go look for him? And this event is so busy that you don't have any cell service anywhere. So we're trying to call him, but no calls are going through. We're texting, nothing's going through. And we're just baffled why he would walk away. And I wasn't 100% sure it was him that was walking away. Maybe he went to another bar line. So I kind of go and look for him. And so we spend the better part of about 30 to 40 minutes walking around trying to find this guy. And finally, we run up on him at some random place and we come out and it turns out that he took this opportunity to run away to that shop that my sister had been talking about before, about the necklaces that she liked, to go buy that for her because their 2-year anniversary is coming up next week. And we totally ran up onto him and like were kind of like berating him with questions. And then he had his tail tucked between his legs and was like, yeah. And we spoiled the entire surprise for him. And we felt so bad. Yeah, it was not a good.
Because you had to tattle on him that he wasn't in the mead line.
Yeah, I mean, we really were kind of concerned. We were like, is this guy just going AWOL? Like, we had no idea what was going on.
Nope, and he's just in love.
Yeah, he's just in love and was doing a very nice thing for my sister.
So, of course, you ended up purchasing the gift on his behalf since you ruined it, right?
I must have missed that. Oh, yeah. He had already bought it by the time that we saw him.
Okay.
The Bird Show.
June is Pride Month, so we've got some historical gossip with my segment, Ye Old Gossip, but this time we're just making it gay. So a lot of LGBTQ plus history is still somewhat unconfirmed because of just how taboo and secretive it's been up until, you know, somewhat recently. And this is the story of the first lady who apparently had a same-sex relationship while she was in the White House.
Hear ye, hear ye! All Instagram baddies and crypto bros for the most salacious gossip in the whole village. Abby's done the work to bring you the old gossip.
Now, the U-Haul wasn't officially invented until 1945, but if it had been, First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt and her alleged lover, Lorena Hickok, would probably have been early adopters. Let me introduce you to the supposed situationship between FDR's wife and an Associated Press journalist. It's the 1930s. America is in the middle of the Great Depression, and Eleanor Roosevelt is probably in the middle of her gay awakening. She and FDR had 6 kids, separate bedrooms, and the kind of emotional intimacy you usually reserve for your tax accountant. So naturally, Eleanor starts to rely on her emotional support lesbian friend. Enter Lorena Hickok. Lorena was a Pulitzer-caliber journalist from South Dakota who had short hair, preferred pants, and chain smoking, which means she was basically a walking rejection of gender norms and impractical clothing.
That's a baddie for the 1930s.
Yeah, back in the day, heck yeah.
All right, so she meets Eleanor while covering the Roosevelts for the Associated Press, and instead of filing a story, she falls in love. Eleanor, meanwhile, is out here playing the role of the perfect wife and first lady and slowly realizing, maybe the only thing I'm straight about is my posture. So why does history think these two were lovers? Well, Lorena Hickok, the celebrated journalist that she was, quits her job. Not because she got fired, not because of budget cuts, but probably because she realized it's hard to stay unbiased in your reporting when you've seen the First Lady naked. And Lorena Hickok moves into her own room in the White House.
No way.
It'd be like if Rachel Maddow all of a sudden started shacking up at the White House because she could keep a quote-unquote closer eye on Melania. So the two of them start this letter-writing correspondence that is so sapphic, it would make your Ellen DeGeneres Wattpad fan fiction look like a children's novel. Together, they wrote a combined 3,500 letters. That is not a crush. That is a doctoral thesis in gay yearning.
Well, no wonder she had to quit her job.
She had no time.
She had to write all these letters.
She's like, I'm too busy writing my lover. So in case you were wavering on whether or not these two actually had a thing for each other, let's talk about what some of these letters actually entailed. Here is a list of direct quotes. I can't kiss you, so I kiss your picture good night and good morning. I long to kiss the corner of your mouth. I miss you so much. I physically ache. I wish I could lie down beside you tonight and take you in my arms. Now, obviously, when you're one of the most iconic women in American history, you start to get a little worried that history is going to remember you more for your taboo gay affair and not for your work in the civil rights movement. Mm. Naturally, Eleanor asked Lorena to burn the letters. And Lorena was like, yeah, I'm not doing that. Not just because she was allegedly in love with Eleanor, but likely because she understood that these letters weren't just personal. They would be recorded as gay American history that would be appreciated one day. Because let's remember, the 1930s weren't exactly rainbow flag friendly. This is the same time period where women couldn't wear pants without being labeled a socialist. Let's be clear. Eleanor Roosevelt changed American history. She redefined the role of First Lady, fought for civil rights, chaired the UN Committee on Human Rights, and still had time to be an absolute gay icon.
So let's raise a glass or a typewritten letter to Eleanor and Lorena, the proof that behind every strong woman is another strong woman living in the guest room, emotionally supporting the hell out of her and probably secretly servicing her.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes. Like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy, but make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus, $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right, your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
Well done. Happy Pride.
The Bird Show.
I am out of my depth with a question about etiquette, but let's try anyway. Katie, what's going on?
All right, so I'm confused about something that my friends and I saw out in the wild, and I need to know, is this something that happens often, or if it's acceptable, basically. So my best friends and I, we don't really speak as much as we used to. We used to be on FaceTime 24/7, but now we're all in relationships, so it's hard to catch up as often as sure. we used to. So now what we do is, like, every other week, we'll go to Chili's and discuss life over a triple dipper.
Oh, man. Can we pause for just 1 second on the triple dipper?
Yes.
That Hollis just introduced me to last week. Damn, where have I been?
It's so good.
Those Nashville spicy mozzarella sticks?
Mm-hmm. And
what?
Then the tenders, the crispers. Oh, I love Chili's. And sliders. So it's like you'll get like crispers, which are chicken tenders, sliders, and then these amazing cheese sticks that can be like Nashville hot flavor, any type of honey barbecue flavor, and then the crunch and the cheese pull. It's just, ooh.
The cheese pull, it's gone viral for Chili's. So you take the mozzarella stick and you stretch out the cheese for as long as you possibly can.
Like a Chicago pizza.
Yes, yeah. Man. And that's what's made it gone viral. So he demanded that we get it one night. I'm like, Chili's, really? I mean, it could be anywhere. That boy was right.
And so now we are obsessed with going to Chili's. And so as we're sitting down in our booth, there's this family that comes and they sit in the booth that's like right in front of us. And it's just a family of three, a husband, a wife, and their daughter. And at first, we're not thinking anything of it. They order their drinks, they get their appetizers, and we just go back and forth. But I'm always watching. Like, I'm always looking around to see what's going on and what people are doing. And as we realize that their appetizers came out, the husband leaves. He gets up, he walks out, and where we're sitting, we're like the windows. You can see the window, like everything going on outside. Like, we're right by the windows in the parking lot. And so we see him walk out. And he meets this woman at a car. And the woman gets out of the car and she's holding a to-go container. And then he takes the to-go food and comes back inside and sits down and puts it on the side of his seat. So now we're looking at each other like, did this man just DoorDash food to Chili's?
So he DoorDashed it to Chili's?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because he meets the woman in the parking lot and she's delivering him food.
Okay.
And he brings the food inside, mm-hmm. sits down in the booth, and then puts it on the side of the booth. He doesn't put it on the table. He puts it on the side of him and then continues on with conversation with his family. And you're like, this is weird. Mm-hmm. he probably didn't want Chili's. We're like, yeah, okay.
That's wild.
So then his wife and his daughter, they get their food, their main entrees. As they get their main entrees, he pulls out his to-go bag, puts it on the table, and opens it.
Wait a minute.
That's a violation.
Wait a minute.
I'm losing something here in translation.
Wait. So the food was for him, not for the child?
No.
Oh, absolutely not. So, like, as the parent of a toddler and you go out to a restaurant, like, I can understand you bringing something for them to eat because they're not going to eat anything on the menu. It is one step further to DoorDash it to the actual restaurant, but at least you didn't have the DoorDasher walk in and drop it at your table.
He might as well have.
Right? Right? But he went outside. He got it. He came in. He was being slick about it. But the fact that he got it for himself and not the kid, my mind is blown right now.
What's the age cutoff, though, when it's not appropriate for a kid to do that? Because I ask this because I remember when I was growing up, I was mortified because I was probably, I don't know, 15, 16. My stepbrother, a couple years older than me, so he was probably 17 at that point. We go to this really nice hibachi restaurant. It was like one of those high-end deals. And he did not like hibachi. So he went to Hardee's and brought in a Hardee's bag and proceeded to eat. They're doing like all the nice tricks and stuff for us at the table. It's really nice. And he's sitting there eating the hot ham and cheese from Hardee's.
That should be a crime.
No, but here's the thing. I'm going to inject some because I think exposure is key and experiences are key. So because of what we do with Bert's Big Adventure, and when we go on Bert's Big Adventure, we have a lot of kids that have not even food allergies, but food aversions, especially kids who are on the spectrum. So I now look at that completely different. Whereas I used to look at it and be very, very judgy. Now I'm like, I have no idea what's going on with this mom, with this kid. And maybe literally the only thing they eat is nugs and mac and cheese. And so that stuff doesn't faze me anymore.
Well, my stepbrother, the only aversion he had was to decorum.
I'm here to defend this guy because I am that guy.
You've
no,
done
you are
this?
Not. You guys know I'm this guy because used to go to that bar after work, listen, I'm not going to hijack everyone's lunch plans because we have our favorite bartender at that place that we enjoy going to. Everyone enjoys the food at that place. But I do have my fitness goals and sometimes I need a little bit more chicken than the average person.
Because it's generally that you're talking about. It's a pizza joint.
It's a pizza joint. So we would go, the whole youth group would go after work on Thursdays. People would have a drink. We'd sit at the bar. And I'm not about to make everyone go next door to Tzatziki's because I need some chicken. So I would go and I would get my Tzatziki's order so everyone can enjoy their pizza. And I would get my Tzatziki's order and I would sit at the bar and they were always so nice about it.
I think it's different though because that bartender, she's cool with it. And that's the type of place where they're cool if you go next door and get some food from somewhere else and bring it. It's acceptable. They know,
but not at Chili's.
You gotta have an in with the person at the restaurant you're eating at, like you do with her, than to just go to a random restaurant with another restaurant's food and have it dropped off in a parking lot. That's diabolical.
It really, honestly, is diabolical. And also the fact that Katie witnessed him hiding it makes it realize, like, it's not like they're regulars at Chili's. They know the server. Like, this is, like, he's trying to be slick about it.
Eating out of his lap.
What is he eating?
So this is what it was. We were so curious, right? So he pulls out the to-go container. We're like, looking. We're like, okay, look. What is he eating? We smell it. Like, is that Mexican?
No.
It was tacos. He had like street tacos.
Yeah,
like an order.
Give me some.
He's just munching on some carne asada.
The Bert Show.
Buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
I gotta tell you, if I was unemployed, the first thing I'd be doing is driving out west to California, and I would be spending every day in the overflow section watching this Diddy trial happen.
Oh, you and me both.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Absolutely.
It is turning into a literal soap opera because a heckler was just kicked out of Diddy's trial yesterday. So we're now in week 4. I feel like it's been going on for years at this point. Mm-hmm. of Diddy's sex trafficking and racketeering trial. And a female heckler caused a small delay and got kicked out because she caused a little bit of a commotion. So this got this woman, I guess, is a big Diddy fan. She's also been a regular inside and outside of the courthouse. If you've never been to like a trial or whatever, there is like an overflow area where you can watch the trial happen on a TV. And I guess she's been a regular watching this happen in real time at the courthouse.
Don't people like stand in line to try to get into the gallery?
Yeah.
I'm guessing the unemployment rate in California is very, very high.
Either that
you got time to do that in the middle of the day.
Well, some people are actually like a lot of TikTokers and people who are doing commentary on these types of pop culture events. Like this is showing up for work for them where they're like, I'm going to sit in the overflow section and watch this trial go down so that I can be the first people to bring it to my followers so they know what's going on and I can paint a clearer picture because I was actually there rather than reading a summary on TMZ. Mm-hmm.
And if I'm correct, I think the court case is in New York.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, just kidding. Never mind. Not California.
Yeah, it is in New York.
I don't know why I thought it was in California. Anyway, so she is at this courthouse, but this time she actually makes it inside the courtroom. So she's getting a front row seat to this trial. It's her dream. She's a big Diddy fan. And she decides in the middle of it to stand up and say, these mother bleepers are laughing at you. You're laughing at a black man's legacy. And then she looks at the security guard and like dares him to pull a gun out. And then Diddy, I guess, in this moment, like turns because he hears gun and he's like, what's happening? And then she gets escorted out of the courtroom because obviously, like, you know, you're disturbing the peace.
She literally said, I dare you to pull a gun?
She said, I'm summarizing what she said because I felt uncomfortable using some of the language she was using. She said, pull your gun out. I dare you.
Oh.
I don't think Diddy wants that kind of help.
Nope. I don't think so either.
No. Yep. I haven't really been following it. I told you guys I'm trying the best I can with this job to stay away from like negativity and negative press, even though we have to be on top of this. But I read a headline and just the subheadline on it was, did Diddy pay off the hotel to get the security footage of him beating up Cassie? And offered $100,000
for it? Yeah, what was crazy about that is he ended up splitting, the security guard split it with one of the hotel managers. I believe it was the Intercontinental. And so I guess he got $50,000 and the security guard got $50,000. And he ended up recording the footage of the security footage. So there was like another copy. And I think that's how it got leaked to CNN when it all came out.
He pretty much let them name their price too, from what they were saying. That allegedly he just told them, what do y'all want for this to happen? And that's what they settled on $50,000, and he paid it. And it's this trial itself, it's just so many twists and turns. It's celebrities coming out. It's so many stories that we've waited years to hear the truth about. I don't know exactly why they didn't put this trial on TV, but I think it was a bad decision.
It's almost like it's a Netflix show that with an impossibly powerful celebrity pulling all the strings behind the scenes, but it doesn't even seem like it's real life. But this dude's life is real life.
No, it's insane. And I really feel like there's now like a niche market for court TV, but it's just these big celebrity court cases. Like first we're going to have Diddy this year. I mean, how many years ago was the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial? That would have been like, we could have had a whole channel just for that. And then we'll have Blake Lively and Justin Baldoni next year. Like I will subscribe to that subscription service.
So you got me wondering why it wasn't televised because this would be like must watch TV. So the Diddy trial is not being televised or live streamed because it's a federal criminal trial. And under the federal rule of criminal procedure 53, photographs and broadcasting from federal criminal courtrooms are prohibited, which is why we're not even getting photos and they have the courtroom artist.
Yes, that makes sense.
Here's the reason to change the Constitution right here.
Yeah. Seriously.
That's the one.
Yep,
that's
damn the one. Good TV. Yep. You're missing out.
All right. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast. It's on your favorite listening platform.
The Burt Show.
Spring is giving fresh start vibes, like suddenly you want to open the windows, drink more water, and maybe act like you have your life together. But when dinner rolls around and you're this close to ordering takeout again, ButcherBox can help. They deliver premium, clean protein straight to your door. No antibiotics, no added hormones, no mystery ingredients. Just real food that actually fuels your body instead of slowing it down. Effortless glow-up energy. But make it dinner. For over a decade, ButcherBox has led the industry with meat and seafood that's antibiotic-free, hormone-free, and independently verified. Because when it comes to fueling your body, quality isn't extra. It's everything. Clean, whole protein means better support for strength, metabolism, and that steady, all-day energy we're all chasing. As an exclusive offer, new listeners can get their choice between chicken breast or top sirloin for a year, or ground beef for life. plus $20 off when you go to butcherbox.com/pods. That's right. Your choice of chicken breast or top sirloin for a year or ground beef for life. Plus $20 off your first box and free shipping always. That's butcherbox.com/pods. Don't forget to use our link so they know that we sent you.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been a long time rumor going on that has caused a lot of debate on if the great Stevie Wonder might actually be a fraud. I believe he can see.
Maurice Mitchell, you can't say I love you and then follow up with the word but.
Why not?
Because. Yeah.
I saw the man competing in the Indy 500 last year.
I believe you. I believe you. And so this has been an ongoing debate and it has once again gone viral. And I'll tell you why. But before I do, I would like to go through the list of reasons why I believe to this point that Stevie Wonder can see.
He was my Uber driver last week.
That's reason number one.
Okay.
The man can drive. Huh? Stevie Wonder himself has said that he can drive. Lionel Richie once documented that he went to see Stevie Wonder at his home, and Stevie Wonder wanted him to listen to one of his songs, and Stevie Wonder walked Lionel Richie to his car, got in the driver's seat, put his hand on the passenger seat as if he was going to back out of the driveway and then proceeded to back out. And Lionel Richie said he tried to get him to stop and Stevie said, gotcha. But but Lionel was kind of shocked that he knew how to do all of that. Then there was a time Stevie Wonder admits that he flew and landed a plane. And there is a gentleman whose plane belongs to who said he witnessed it himself. That Stevie did it. I'm just telling y'all what they say.
A lot of hearsay, man.
Now, that one could be iffy because most of those planes can land themselves now, right? So if you're behind the yoke, the plane could be doing all the work.
Okay, that's fair. All right, I'll give you that one.
But the time that he beat me in darts, that's not cool.
Well, what about the time Paul McCartney accidentally knocked the mic over and Stevie caught it? How did Stevie know that mic stand was falling?
He's a Jedi.
Okay. Now he's a Jedi. All right. What about the time that Shaq said Stevie walked on the elevator and he was by himself and it was just Shaq on the elevator and Stevie said, what's up, Shaq? And then pressed the floor and got off the elevator.
Okay, to be fair, the buttons on the elevator are also, like, they have Braille on them, okay?
Uh-huh. Doesn't have anything to do with, like, Shaq and his fingers.
Probably smells like icy hot or something.
That's a fair point. All right, what about the time that former basketball player Carmelo Anthony said that Stevie Wonder walked up to him and told him, I love watching you play?
Oh. Okay.
Stevie's got jokes. Stevie has jokes for days.
Okay. Well, my favorite is the fact that he told us there's a ribbon in the sky. How he know? And then lastly, Anthony Anderson, comedian, said that he once played Stevie Wonder in a free throw contest because Stevie said he would embarrass him if they played one-on-one, and Stevie won.
Well, that says nothing about Stevie, but it says a lot about him and how bad he is at shooting free throws.
Yeah.
Touché.
And couldn't you say who was the dude that he was playing?
Anthony Anderson.
Couldn't Anthony Anderson go, yeah, I made that one.
Yeah. You're right. How do you end up losing?
I made all of them.
Yeah.
Does anyone know, like, how blind Stevie Wonder is? Before you, like, laugh, being legally blind doesn't mean, like, completely black darkness. It's like there are varying levels. So is he, like, completely blind, or can he see, like, shapes or gray area or light?
Well, when I looked it up, they said that it is very possible for Stevie to be partially blind.
Mm-hmm.
But even if...
Yeah.
He's never come out and said he was partially blind.
Right.
He's always maintained that he's fully blind.
I mean, AI is saving, just a quick Google. Thanks, AI. Stevie Wonder is blind due to retinopathy of prematurity, a condition that can occur in premature babies. He was born 6 weeks premature, and high levels of oxygen in the incubator damaged the blood vessels in his eyes that led to abnormal blood vessel growth, scarring, and retinal detachment, resulting in blindness.
Well, the most recent point of where someone believes that Stevie might have revealed himself and is now going viral has come from this moment from R&B singer Keisha Cole, who was on a podcast, and she was asked about what her interaction with Stevie Wonder was like.
Stevie say anything that led you to believe he could see?
He asked me to
to text him.
All right, come on. Right.
Yo, Steve, you gotta stop, yo.
Steve.
No, and I'm not smoking. Even...
Stop.
You better chill
I'm
out.
Not being funny. I'm literally, if we have a problem, speak to my manager, DJ Mormily, fake work on Instagram. He told me, he specifically, I got the text. He said, do not call him, FaceTime him.
Now, why Stevie Wonder want Keisha Cole to FaceTime him? Why? Why does it matter?
All right, now I'm sucked into the depths of the internet, and I'm on a Reddit thread that is questioning whether or not Stevie Wonder is actually blind, okay? And Colonel Fuzzy Carrot has this to say.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, right. Wait, let's stop what we're doing, because Colonel Fuzzy Carrot.
Colonel Fuzzy Carrot. Speaking. Not to be confused with Cousin Fuzzy Carrot. Yes, yeah. No, this is Colonel Fuzzy Carrot.
Yeah, he earned it.
He said he's not 100% blind.
Tell me about it.
But it's pretty bad. He can still detect movement in large objects, especially if they're wearing cologne and stuff.
Oh.
He recognized Shaq because there are a few people that large. And then he cracked the same joke as Cassie. You probably smell like icy.
All right, so that puts us to the bottom of it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
There's that.
So I think Stevie can see.
So it's not 100%.
I think if
do
you
are... Do you, in your heart of hearts, you really think Stevie can see a little?
Here's what I know. If I were considered an absolute musical legend for being blind,
yes,
and deep down I knew I really wasn't, I'd never tell you.
Would you, when you pass, would you, in your will, would you tell everybody what the truth was?
Absolutely not.
Mm-mm.
Nah.
That ruined your legacy.
Yes. That's what you built the whole legacy for. No, I'm absolutely not telling. You will never know.
I would.
You would tell?
Oh, yeah.
Ruin your legacy?
I'm done at that point, man. I will never know if my legacy is strong or not. Because I'm dead.
He needs to release a memoir after he passes that just says, gotcha! Yes.
Get it? The Burt Show.
All right, Abby, so now all of a sudden you're the boy whisperer.
Oh, my gosh. So, I mean, we've talked about how we're starting this bit where I'm trying to scam older gentlemen out of money by securing myself a sugar daddy, but I think I need to start charging the younger men as well.
Hold on one second. The whole way you started that is flawed.
No, it's not.
We are not scamming anybody out of anything. You are telling them you want a sugar daddy. They are on sugar daddy websites.
You are telling people that I want a sugar daddy.
I am telling you, yes. In order to alleviate the deep pain she feels every single day dating, I said, you know what? Let's get you a sugar daddy. So long as there is an agreement between the two of you guys and you know what the arrangement is, there is no scamming going on at all.
It feels like scam work, whereas I feel like this might be an entrepreneurial business that I think I have an idea for after an experience I had with a group of young gentlemen out at a restaurant bar a couple weekends ago. So I already talked about the fact that I kind of did a solo date where I took myself to this Italian restaurant called Yepa, sat up at the bar, had a lovely conversation with an older gentleman who did end up picking up my tab, but my night didn't end there. I was like, well, I just saved myself $75. I need to go spend some money somewhere else. So I ended up moseying down the street from Yepa to the St. Regis bar, which I'm like, maybe there will be other older gentlemen willing to pick up my tab. At the very least, usually you'll see a celeb or two, and it's just a really, really fun night. You would be surprised. The St. Regis bar, kind of lit on a Saturday night.
It's a place to be.
Yeah, and it's a sugar daddy playground.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So it's around 9 p.m. on a Saturday, and I'm already a little boozed up, have two glasses of sparkling rosé, and I decide to mosey my way down to the St. Regis bar. And to my surprise, it's kind of empty.
Didn't have the line, because normally they have a rope and you have to wait for somebody to leave in order for you to get in.
I know. I looked at the bouncer and I was like, I can just walk in. Yeah. He's like, yeah, would it make you feel better if I took your ID? And I was like, no. I'm surprised I can just walk in. Like, there was, not to be like there was nobody there, but it was empty enough to where there were multiple seats at the bar, multiple seats in the lounge that I had to choose from. And I was like, okay, well, this is kind of lame, but I'll sit at the bar. I'll have one more drink. They also give you some really great bar snacks. They have like truffle popcorn.
Oh, they do have great bar snacks.
So good. I was like, girl dinner.
Ooh. And And the bathroom is like, that's immaculate bathroom vibes for taking a selfie.
I can always appreciate a good bathroom.
You can also put the word truffle in front of anything, mm-hmm. and it makes it so much better.
I was like, this is bougie. I know this is costing them like 50 cents, but I feel like it's a 4-course meal.
So, Mo, when you go to the St. Regis and you go up to the bar, you think hotel bar, you can walk in. Well, I was a newbie, did not know the rules. So I'm there, I'm looking cute with a friend. We walk in, we sit at a table, and a man comes up to me. He goes, I'm sorry, but you need to get up and leave. And I'm like, what? He goes, no, there are people waiting for these tables. And then I look and see, and sure enough, there's like a partition, like you would go to the club and you have to sit there and wait for tables to open up so you can get in and sit in at a hotel bar.
Just at the bar. That's insane. I never heard anything.
That's why it was such a big deal when I told the story about taking my friend there and they let us sit front and center and plucked off the reserve. I was like, we have really leveled up because it's a big deal to get into this bar some nights. So I'm hanging out at the bar by myself. It's pretty empty. I'm kind of resigning the fact that, okay, the rest of my night's kind of it's going to be a little bit of a bust. I already had my fun time getting my tab picked up by that older gentleman. This is kind of where it ends. So I'm about halfway through a delicious glass of Sauvignon Blanc, and surprisingly, these three guys who look a little bit younger than me plop down next to me and strike up a conversation. I'm like, well, this is lovely and unexpected that a group of like 25, 26-year-old dudes are going to strike up a conversation at the St. Regis of all places. Again, it's kind of a sugar daddy hotspot, a little bit of an older crowd, depending on the night. And they end up saying, hey, do you want to hang out with us for the rest of the night? Like, we want to go find another bar. So I was like, sure. So we couldn't find a bar that was open because I guess Memorial Day weekend in Atlanta is kind of a bust. Mm. So I end up just taking them back to Yuppa because Yuppa is kind of the place to be in Buckhead. And it's still kind of going strong. So we were around the bar. We get another round of drinks. And these guys are all single. We're talking about like dating and stuff. And behind us, there's this big group of young women about their age. And it's probably a group of like 9 or 10 of them. It's like a big group and you can tell they've done all the things. They did the everything shower. Their hair is slicked back. They've got the good jewelry on. Like the perfume is wafting our way. Like these girls are ready for a night. And he goes, hey, Abby, like I really want to go talk to those girls, but like I don't really know how to do it. And I said, this is my area of expertise because I am the number one advocate for men approaching women in the wild. I'm like, I think we need to get rid of the stigma that it's a quote unquote creepy thing to do, and I'm going to coach you through it. So weirdly enough, this guy's like he's conventionally attractive. This guy's probably like 6'5". I'm like, dude, they're going to be thrilled that any man is walking over acknowledging their presence, but you're a cute dude. They're going to be excited. And he's like, no, no, no. I'm like, no, this is what you need to do. And I said, let's observe them. I'm like, this is like National Geographic at this point. I'm like,
God, what a dream for a guy.
No, really.
To have a coach, like a caddy.
So I'm standing there and I'm like, okay, let's observe. See, they're taking photos of each other. They're all taking individual selfies. I'm like, these girls, A, want to be seen because they're taking photos. If you don't feel good about yourself, you're not taking pics. There are no men at the bar. So there's no like boyfriend situation that you need to be worried about. They look like they're about to go out after this. They are in the mood to mingle.
Well, you get the game right now.
Yes. I'm not coaching my dad. I feel like I'm Belichick and it's the Super Bowl.
You're Hitch.
I'm Hitch. So I said, this is what you need to do. This is a foolproof plan. I'm like, I have been those girls before. I've been at that table. I've been in that group. This is what they want you to do. You need to go over there and just say, hey, notice you ladies taking some photos. Do you want me to get a group pic for you? And he goes, no, I can't do that. I'm like, I'm telling you, this is a foolproof plan. Like, this is a game-winning touchdown.
Look, but did you tell him when you go over to get the group pic how to do it? You have to hold it up high to get the right angle, and you got to take multiple photos, and you got to do it on the vertical. That way they can post it to social media.
Yep, I was like, no double chins here. Do the flash because it's a little dark.
Uh-huh.
So, it took him a second. He's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. It's like so intimidating if they shut me down. And I'm telling him, I'm like, listen, the worst thing they're going to say is, no, thanks. We don't need a group pic. And you walk back over and it'll be fine. So I'm with these two other guys who are watching this man make his first move. And we're all sitting there like with our little popcorn. We're like, what's going to happen? And then he goes over there and I see one of them hand the phone to him. And I go, look at what's happening.
So that's a win.
I know, he's taking the photos. And literally, you guys, he comes back and he is so giddy. He's like, I can't believe that worked. And I'm like, it's almost like I knew what I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's almost like I had a plan going into this. So I was like, now your next thing is to go over and get one of their numbers. And he goes, okay, I think I've got the confidence to do that. He goes over, asks for one of their numbers. She has a boyfriend. But I was about to say, I'm like, that's the worst thing that could happen. Yeah. You put yourself out there. They let you take the photo. She has a boyfriend. Nothing is lost. And you've gained all the confidence of the world. And I said that'll be $19.99. My big mom is at Abby Murphy 4.
Raise your price.
You should. That's great.
I know.
It's like every guy's, that's a dream.
For sure.
To have a woman guide him through that.
I feel like I need to start a side business where I just go out with these dudes and I coach them on how to approach women so they don't feel creepy. Like I'm giving them permission to approach the ladies.
Giving them confidence. That's priceless.
Well, you know what they say about consultants? If you can't do it yourself, you're probably way better at consulting somebody
exactly.
else.
Exactly.
It's the Burt Show.
Get it. The Burt Show.
Some crimes are never forgotten. Others are lost to history. Those are the ones we focus on in Crimes of the Centuries, a history meets true crime podcast revisiting murders, trials, and frauds that once dominated headlines. I'm Amber Hunt, your host and a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist. If you like true crime that feels both cinematic and historical, find Crimes of the Centuries wherever you get your podcasts.